Here, here. Welcome to my very first podcast where I will surely fall on my face and make a fool of myself. And you can please comment below about all, the fuck-ups that I did. I don't mind. But also please tell me about all the really cool things that you learned and things that might help you. I am sitting at one of my favorite restaurants in Newmarket, Ontario called Hunger Brew Hops. And I'm enjoying a beer sangria and my guest here is enjoying... Well, it's yellow, and I don't think it's piss, but it could be beer. And we're just going to share with you a little bit about, my guest experience as an onlinepreneur and a little bit about his company. So my guest today's name is Shao Miller. Shao, can you just say hello to our audience and just introduce your company a little bit and just give us like a little basic background about what it is that you do?
Oh, sure. Hello, Robin. Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks.
I have a company called Synthetel Corporation, and if I had to summarize it all together, I guess it would be internet convenience. So a lot of people are too busy to have to worry about things like where their website is or who's doing their email, and so I try to fill that little niche there.
Okay. So, Shao and I used to work together at a digital marketing agency. We worked there for I was there for almost a year. And Shao, how long were you there for?
Two years, 9 months.
2 years, okay. Yeah, so Shao always made me laugh. And it turns out that he knew people from my hometown in Fredericton, New Brunswick. And, we just kind of connected. And, Shao's like a really quirky person. We just kind of developed a really cool... working relationship that way, and it's really cool that we've stayed in touch since we decided to build our own businesses. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, what was the deciding factor, or what was it that made you decide to start an online business?
Oh, well, for me, I guess it really boils down to the word autonomy. When you're working for somebody else, that's nice because you've got money coming in from this other person that's employing you or company. But for me, I always had a big to-do list, and I wasn't going to be able to tackle that to-do list at the place that I worked at. And so I think the only solution for me was to break off onto my own and start my own business. And so far, it's so good. It's working out pretty well.
That's awesome. So just to get an idea of what Synthetel is, and we, as business owners and that are, online and creating, this laptop lifestyle, and part of that is having website hosting, email hosting, and all that jazz. So a lot of us just use, the big names out there, and I don't want a lawsuit on my ass, so I'm not going to say their names, but I'm sure you and everyone else can, understand or kind of figure out who I'm talking about.
Right, sure.
So what's the difference between going with a public company as opposed to somebody that's, because I understand that you're a little bit more private than the big guys out there. So can you tell me what the main difference is between you and them?
Well, sure. I really pride myself on the customer service there. Now, I'm not saying that bigger companies don't, but I've got a pretty high satisfaction rating historically, and I'd like to keep it that way. So I'm sort of hopeful that kind of entices people towards me as opposed to big alternatives. Sometimes it is a little more difficult to get the kind of support that you want out of the bigger companies. I've found that personally anyway, and I've got friends that have had the same experiences. So so far I'm doing all right at preventing my friends and connections and customers from getting that same sort of frustration, trying to keep them happy. So that's one thing that I have going for me, I guess, over the bigger companies. It's maybe a little more personal, too, because I'm smaller, right? I don't have 100 employees at a center somewhere. So it's going to be me so far that you're getting when you want service or support. What else can I say there? And my prices are a little better than some of the big players as well. I happen to have a few tricks up my sleeve to doing things efficiently, and that allows me to keep my prices pretty low. So far, people have been really happy about my pricing as well.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to know then is, you know, because you are a small business and it's essentially you running it at this point, and I imagine most companies or businesses would like their, you know, to grow. So when it comes to a point where you are bringing on other people on your team, like, is that a direction that you want to go, where you're going to like hire people to work for you? And, you know, how are you going to adapt to when you are much busier and you're getting a workload of people, you know, that are using your services, and, you know, to accommodate the volume, you know, can you make sure that, you know, that service level is still going to be there later on?
Right. I think it's probably too soon for me to really have an opinion about that. I sort of just imagine always being sort of relatively small. I've got, as I say, a to-do list to accomplish, but I haven't really thought about beyond that.
Do you want another beer?
Oh, maybe,
it's okay.
Maybe I'll
hold on. We're gonna order another beer.
Can I trouble you for a nut brown ale, please? Black oak.
Nut brown. That sounds kind of sexy. All right.
Yeah, so I haven't really put too much thought into being a larger company.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do if I have lots of people.
Oh, okay.
There. I'm really just focused on this to-do list that I have there. I've got a few things to do.
Well, I want to know about this to-do list now.
I don't know. It might be a little philosophical, but
that's okay.
The name of the company derives from two words, synthetic and intelligence there. So artificial intelligence has been a passion of mine for many years.
Okay.
That's basically what the to-do list is about there. Once I get a little bit of progress with some of the things that I've been working on for years, I'm sort of hopeful that I can rest in peace if I were to die after that point, having done those things, you know? Kind of, sort of, I guess, short-term.
It's like a personal journey, almost?
It is, you know,
yeah,
it's
okay.
Important to me, that's for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. So, like, what do you do, like, you know, when it comes to just maintaining yourself in terms of like the mind, body, and spirit? Like, what kinds of things kind of keep you on track to accomplishing these to-do lists besides beer? Beer doesn't
count
right now.
Yeah. Well, after smoking for 20 years, I finally gave that up. And on the 18th, it'll have been a year that I've been without smoking, so that's pretty fun. And just a couple of months after quitting smoking there, I thought, it's time to get the body back in shape, so I took up jogging after that. Now, unfortunately, the place around my house right now is a bit of a beach with all the sand from sanding during the winter, but as soon as they wash that away there, I'll probably take up the jogging again. I think that fitness is probably important if you want to live forever.
Right.
And I'd like to live forever, so quitting smoking and getting back into shape are probably important for that.
Immortality.
Yeah, that's in fact, artificial intelligence is only my passion because it's a sub-goal on the way to immortality.
There we go.
So that's the real goal. Really. Mind, body, spirit, yeah. Well, you know, I like having a sort of a weird sort of sleeping schedule there. I like to burn really hard with work, with computing and thinking about computer problems and internet problems. And then I like to have a sleep which totally switches off my brain and allows me to fully recharge. So I don't sleep in an 8-hour overnight shift anymore. I sleep after a sort of a wakefulness session. And then,
really?
Yeah, it's a little different. It means that, unfortunately, sometimes when friends try to get a hold of me, I might be sleeping, and no matter what time it is, it's a little awkward that way, but I always wake up to a phone call or a text message, of course. But I've found that that's really kept me content. You know, I don't have to worry about the rigor maybe of going to bed at such and such a time and waking up at such and such a time. It's a little more flexible, I guess, and I enjoy that flexibility. I see you've got something that looks pretty tasty.
I have some Brussels sprouts, goat cheese, and bacon. I'm telling you, I literally come to this place just for this. You have to try it.
Oh, it looks pretty good.
It looks freaking amazing. So do you find, like, with your sleep, do you believe in, like, the whole biorhythms of sleep patterns and stuff like that?
Yeah, good question. I read a nice book once called Stop Sleeping Through Your Dreams by Charles McPhee, I guess, over 20 years ago. But in it, I think he suggested that when they tried experiments putting people underground without the sunlight, that they just sort of fell into a pattern of, more than half a day of wakefulness, but then would just go to sleep and it wouldn't really matter. As long as they got in a certain number of 40-minute sleep cycles, then they'd be refreshed afterwards. It didn't really matter what time of night or day, it really was in actuality. So I'm not sure what the sort of the natural rhythm for humans is, but I don't think I'm quite what it is because I sleep a little too frequently. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think it's the everyday sleep at night and be awake for the daylight sort of thing. I'm not sure that that's quite natural either.
I think it's just whatever is natural to you, because everyone's different,
right?
It
could be, yeah.
So, and I mean, what's natural to everyone else is that works in, like, the 9-to-5 sort of lifestyle. I mean, they typically need to go to bed by, like, 9 or 10 at night,
right,
so that they can be up at 5 or 6 in the morning for their 2.5-hour commute to their job. So, that's cool. Is there any other books that you've read lately that, like, kind of inspire yours, or, like, anybody you follow on YouTube or influencers that, you know, that kind of motivate you or to kind of make those check marks on your list, or?
Yeah, I don't know about that. There are a couple things that I follow. I like to follow what the big companies are doing, like Google and Microsoft. Maybe not so much Apple, but both Google and Microsoft have search engines, and there's a little bit of an overlap there with some of my interests. And so, since they're big companies, they have the resources to sort of pour into research, and some of the stuff that comes out of them is pretty neat. So I do sort of follow along those activities that they publish there on their Twitter feeds.
So it's like geek porn, essentially.
I guess maybe, yeah. Yeah, it's maybe not quite as gratifying, but it is. It's still stimulating. Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
That was good. That was funny. So, like, as a new business owner, because you're online, you're not location dependent. Is any sort of lifestyle, like, I mean, is there a purpose around that, like having your online business, or, do you care if you're location dependent or not?
Well, actually, just before my last job, I found that a lot of my time was actually contributing to some open source software projects.
Okay.
And they're nowhere near where I live, and so it was a sort of an online presence, and I was making myself useful regardless of geography. You know, I was helping people in California and in Europe, and it really felt good to be a part of those projects, and it's always been an interest of mine to continue to participate to them. So I think that working from home a lot of the time there allows me to do that, which is really nice. Just a moment ago, you'd mentioned the 2-hour commute.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that drives me crazy. Although we have the 404 now open between Green Lane and Woodbine in Keswick, which is probably the greatest thing that mankind has ever achieved, it shaves off fully 12 minutes of commute. But still, why bother with a commute, right? It cuts out of your life. So some of the time, my waste sort of would consider a waste to commute could be better spent doing other things, I think,
like drinking coffee and masturbating,
work, or yeah, maybe I don't do either of those two things, but yeah.
maybe not at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, you know what?
Or jogging.
Yeah, or jogging, yeah.
Or sleeping.
I mean, most of the time I work from home because I have a son that, you know, he has special needs at school and I have to kind of be available.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the flexibility of working from home. But I can go to the gym during the day.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, if I have any appointments that I need to go, you know, like just beautifying chick stuff, I'll do that during the day,
sure.
The daytime, whatnot. But just like the time flexibility. So work a couple of hours during the daytime, work a couple hours in the afternoon, a couple more in the evenings. You know, I really enjoy that. And the fact that you can just kind of do it from anywhere. You know, and that's kind of the beauty of it, is you're not sort of tied to other people's expectations or whatever. But what do you think are, like, the downfalls of being, you know, an onlinepreneur or a business owner? Like, what do you find your biggest challenges are?
Well, actually, I think just before we got going here, recording, you'd mentioned something that's probably pretty relevant as a potential downfall. And that's the sort of a social aspect there. So if you do work from home or from the convenience of one spot that's of your own choosing, unless you have your own employees, you might be missing out on, and especially if you're a workaholic, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners probably are, at least in the beginning, you might end up a little bit isolated from some other people. If you're working at a company, of course, you're likely to be part of a team and have a sort of a forced presence with other people there. So that maybe is a potential downfall. I think that's probably relatively easy to balance, though, just by keeping in touch with your friends and making sure that you go out and sometimes say, no, I'm going to do this work a little later. I'm going to get out and do something else. So I don't think that's too much of a challenge or downfall, luckily. What other downfalls are there? Maybe along the lines, if you don't have any discipline, I could see self-discipline. I could see that exercise might be a bit of an issue there. Some people like to stand and work, so that's okay. But sitting, certainly, you need to break from sitting quite frequently. Otherwise, you'll probably end up with bodily problems, which you don't want at all. Like
yes, we don't want to shit ourselves.
That's right. So I don't know, those are potential downfalls, but I'm also not a health expert, so I might not be qualified to give a really informed opinion on some of the big downfalls or disadvantages. So far, so good, I would say, for me. It's working out pretty well, pretty nicely.
Yeah, no, I do find the struggle of that, you know, shutting off the work mode or whatever. So now I'm finding that more and more I'm shutting off my cell phone and just kind of powering down. Usually not until about 11 o'clock at night, but I usually take an hour to myself, like before bedtime, and watch Prison Break or, you know, some show that I'm completely obsessed with. You know, but I just do find, like, as an onlinepreneur and business owner, like, there's always something to do. Like, always. Like, there's always something in the back of your mind. Sometimes your mind doesn't really shut off. And, you know, you have that, like, mental checklist going. And it's just, like, it's on a merry-go-round. And it's sort of always there. So that's a downfall, as opposed to going into a job where you're basically told what you need to do. You just do it. You go home and you can kind of check your brain at the door. You go home and enjoy your family life. But I do find that I am tied to my business, you know, as it's still in the beginning stages for me. I feel like over time, as things are established and, you know, strategies and things are put into place, that things will sort of kind of develop a flow, and you know, if you were to implement automation and outsourcing, then it becomes easier over time. But you have to get, like, all that groundwork and that foundation in place first. So, I mean, for me, that's what I find one of the biggest issues is right now, is I really don't have time to do anything. Like, I don't even have time to go out on a date. Like, I really don't. But anyhow, so for you, I mean, what's your vision for your company? Like, what's your ultimate goal for it?
Let's see here. Well, you just said something that I'd like to respond to first there, and that was, you were painting a sort of a mental image in my mind there with some of what you were saying there about a sort of a hump. You said a foundation, I think, or groundwork. That reminds, in my head, I imagine a sort of hump of huge effort expenditure to lay this foundation, as you said, and then a little bit of a smooth, sort of steady climb, I would hope for afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably natural for a new business, and that's certainly what I'm going through as well there. Fortunately, I have tons of friends and connections there, and so that's really helped me out quite a bit. But the vision for me is sort of just to accumulate enough resources to make some progress, make some strides, I would say, in the field of artificial intelligence there. So I'm not too picky about what I do for other people that brings them value at this time there. So I'm pretty good with the computers and the internet. And so my short-term vision is to just do whatever people need that I'm skillful at to bring them some value at the same time as I'm accumulating resources towards finally putting some effort into the bigger goal there. So the vision, I mean, I guess everybody who wants to have a big business probably wants it to become a brand name like Kleenex. Kleenex is to tissue, or Coke is to soda pop or something like that.
Right.
But I'm not sure whether or not I would like Synthetel to become sort of that big. One of the distinguishing features might also be when you consider private versus public companies. Ones that are publicly traded, or that the shareholders, the stockholders can be anybody. Right now, my company's private, and I sort of think that I would like to keep it that way. A lot of startups, actually, in the field of artificial intelligence have been gobbled up by companies like Google. And I'm afraid that if they approach me, you know, with millions of dollars, I'd probably still say not for sale, just because I'd be worried about the direction that they might want to go with it. I don't particularly care about monetizing the results. I think they're important for sort of humanity, and so I would have zero interest in monetizing the results there. It's kind of like the business is actually just a sort of means to an end. The business is not going to be artificial intelligence. I don't want my company to be artificial intelligence, but it's just there to sort of support those endeavors.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I haven't articulated that well, but it's I haven't really ever articulated it to anyone except in your podcast here. So,
oh, well, there you go.
It's new to me.
Yes. Are the Brussels sprouts distracting you? Oh, wait, that's a fly. That's a fruit fly. Those are yummy, too.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Well, I think, I think that's an individual decision you need to make, whether or not you are going to, your goal is to become a publicly traded company, or if you'd like to stay private. That's totally and truly a preference.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you definitely have more control over a private company,
right,
and what to say, because, if all these big people come in and they could basically, take everything that you had and you worked for and you didn't sleep for, and that you didn't buy a lot of groceries for to invest in,
right,
your business and your company, eating fucking, Kraft dinner and shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mr. Noodles. and they could come in and basically, just give it, wipe out everything and all this hard work that you did, and just so that they can make money off of it. They don't give a shit about it. But a private company that chooses to stay private is because you truly give a shit about, the vision,
right,
and what you have in place for your business. So I think that's a plus, with using, a smaller company in service.
Yeah, I'd agree. That I think you nailed it there. Yeah, with the sort of the private approach, you can really keep a vision intact there. That's definitely a good thing there. How is your business going there? I know you're still finishing off your Brussels sprouts before you get your steak salad,
so
but what sorts of interesting things are happening with your business?
Right now I'm just kind of doing an overhaul on my website, and so because right now it doesn't look as pretty as I would like to, but you know, I learned a little bit about programming, a little bit about design, and you know, which is great because, you know, I do plan on outsourcing and subcontracting work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, with marketing and website related things. But I think it's really important to understand how things work together. So that was one of the reasons why I chose to do things, you know, on my own and obviously for money. Like, I go out and hire all these big ass agencies that will cost me $10,000. Do my website and my email and my social media and all this stuff, but I'm not going to learn anything by doing that.
Right.
So I decided to go the cheaper route and learn how to do things on my own, so that when it comes time that I can't afford, or I decide, you know, the workload's just too much for me and I don't have 60 hours in one day, that, you know, when I do hire people or outsource, subcontract, whatever, that if there's a problem, that I know how to go in and fix it.
Oh,
and
I see.
And I don't have to, and I understand what's going on, and I can see the problem. And if somebody's not available, they're on vacation, or whatever, you know, or if they have had an emergency, that I can go in and I can rearrange things as needed. So, you know, it's a progression. I think it's something, you know, it's a work in progress always. And now I'm starting my fitness wear line, my swimwear line, and, you know, I'm tying in actual products on top of my information products, you know, and just getting the marketing in place. Like, it is coming together. It is going good. But, you know, it's always a long way to go. But, you know, overall, like, I wouldn't trade it. I love it. And, you know, I see the future and I see what's in store. So I don't mind, you know, waiting and doing things properly.
Well, that's interesting. Like a lot of the bigger companies there, that's interesting that you have two sort of realms or domains of product there, informational products and physical products. I only have informational products. I don't have anything that I can hand to somebody other than perhaps a printout, which nobody likes to print anymore. I certainly don't. But that's pretty neat that, you've got two sort of realms to do there. That must be a little more learning than just sticking to one or the other.
Well, it is, but, I mean, even my physical products are only offered online. Like, I'm not going to... I made a decision to
not...
You're not
going to drive a truck somewhere?
No. I'm not going to sell things in stores. I'm going to sell everything online. And I'm trying to go from, like, you know, a healthy wellness lifestyle, living, you know... I'm trying to come from that perspective with the products that I offer. And, you know, so it's all a part of, you know, just having the ultimate lifestyle, and that's kind of the angle that I choose to go from. The information products are basically to help other people, you know, grow their business, you know, to a point or to whatever it is that they wish.
I see that. That's pretty neat. I might have one other question for you here. As a fellow sort of starter-upper person here, sometimes I wonder about... What if everyone in the world sort of had their own sort of autonomy there? What do you think that would be like if nobody sort of worked for anybody else for the majority of their time, but it was all a very evenly distributed sort of interconnected network of dependencies? You had lots of different people that you worked for, and they were your customers or whatever, in a sort of a less... less narrow way, I guess. What do you think it would be like if everybody sort of had their own business, or everyone was an entrepreneur?
I mean, it would definitely change the world radically. I mean, all these buildings, it would actually, the world would actually turn upside down. If you really think about it, just the same way that if Donald Trump was president, the world would turn upside down. But, you know, it's just, I don't think it's one of those things that ever will ever happen, because everyone's different in the sense that, you know, people are tied to security, they're tied to, you know, familiarity of their day-to-day, and not everyone's the same as us. Like, we are artistic, independent individuals, and we don't like conformity.
Right.
But not everybody's like that. So it's impossible to imagine or think that the world would ever be like that, you know. But I guess our job, you know, as entrepreneurs or onlinepreneurs is to encourage the people that are like us and like-minded that, you know, it's completely possible to achieve what we're doing right now. And it's not, you don't have to suffer, you know, the confines of sitting under fluorescent lights behind a desk or whatever. Like, I mean, you can just easily sit on your couch drinking a nice coffee with Bailey's and achieve the same thing, you know, but make your money and not somebody else's. That's one of the things, right? But like I said, like, not everyone's like us. So, I mean, and if it were, then, I mean, it could be a scary thing. But at the same time, it would be nice to see more people in the world move towards, you know, serving themselves and their families and their loved ones, which is kind of what, you know, the online or laptop lifestyle is about.
Interesting. So you feel that the balance then is probably a little more currently in favor of less autonomy for individuals, and you think that maybe a little bit of a shift at least is warranted towards people, those people that would be disposed to working for themselves actually doing so?
Yeah, I think that there's like those scales, right? Those Greek scales. And I think they just need to be balanced. You know what I mean? And I still feel like our society, and because of the generations that we were brought up in, I feel like it's still, you know, working for the man and being company people and, you know, having that security of a paycheck every week and benefits and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, most people just want to shoot themselves. So really, is it great? It's not really that great.
Right. Yeah, well, I can certainly say that I don't want to shoot myself at the end of every day these days. I'm happy about that.
Well, I think that we're coming to an end. What do you think, Chao?
Well, sure, yeah. Is there anything that we haven't covered there that you wanted to cover today as a first sort of recording experiment there?
I feel like we've touched base. I think that the last thing that's left to do is to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they decide that they would like to try out Synthetel.
Well, thanks so much then, Robin. Yeah, Synthetel is just those pieces of two words, synthetic and intelligent. So it's SYNTHE, Synthe, and then the TEL comes from intelligence. So Synthetel, SYNTHETEL.com or .ca or .net or .org. Hard
Holy,
to get it wrong.
How many dots do you got in there?
Just the four there.
Oh,
usually,
okay.
Usually it's a fair idea if you come up with a unique sort of company name and you want to have an online presence at all these days to cover .com, .net, .org, and then the two-letter country code of your origin. So that's what I've gone for that. So you can reach me by following the Stepping Stones from my website there, or Synthetel also rarely, unfortunately, tweets on Twitter.
Okay.
It's just called Synthetel is the name there.
Okay.
So that would be an @ Synthetel. There's just a couple of videos on YouTube on the Synthetel channel there, but nothing much yet. You've got to get more useful things for people, I guess, to help them out before making more videos for there. So getting in touch with me, probably email is best. My contact information is available on the website. If you follow the more link, then there's a contact page through there.
Nice.
I think that's probably pretty trivial. Yeah, if you need a hand basically with your presence on the internet, short of actually getting the internet to your house, I should be able to help you out.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time, and I'm feeling a little bit of fuzzy with my drink here.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Robin. Thanks for considering me for this interview or this sort of audio program.
Great. Like I think that we got a lot of information out here for people to, you know, to be inspired, and also, you know, it's just good to have information. You know, it's like suck it all in, take it all in, learn as much as you can.
Definitely.
About, you know, people that are kind of doing what it is that you want to do. It's just good for direction. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding how, you know, the steps that you need to take to implement, you know, bridging out into your, you know, your laptop lifestyle or the savvy bitch lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks guys for listening, and I'm gonna call this podcast Bitching Over Beers or Wine or whatever it is that we decide that we're gonna drink that day. And the, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help and motivate other onlinepreneurs to, you know, starting up their own businesses, to educate, you know, and just provide insight, you know, for people that are just like you that want to do the same thing, you know, and just to kind of just fucking do it. So currently my podcast is not sponsored, but for anybody who's interested in sponsoring me, you can reach me at Robin@SavvyBitchCo. So SavvyBitch. And then co.com, or you can go to the savvybitchlifestyle.com where you can contact me through my contact page and just send me any details of sponsorships.
Cool.
And I think that's about it.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and please feel free to comment below and follow me on Instagram, also Facebook, and Twitter @The Savvy Bitch Lifestyle. Thanks again, ciao.
Sure, bye.
All right, ciao.